Good afternoon. The time is 2 o'clock. Welcome to Vox Pop on this Tuesday, July 29th. I'm Ray Grapps. Hey, are you in the market for a new home? Are you planning to sell your old dump before it falls down? Well, I feel your pain. We have two real estate professionals in the studio today to answer your questions. Alex Monticello of Monticello Real Estate and Renata Lewis of Keller Williams Capital District are waiting for your questions. Well, not yet. They're still in the green room. At least I hope they are. Otherwise, you're out of luck. 800-348-2551 is our number. 1-800-348-2551. It's real estate today. You can email, if you wish, voxpop@wamc.org. That's the email. And the number again is 800-348-2551. Renata, Alex, and you and the phone and the real estate, we'll see you. Hello again. Welcome back to Vox Pop, WAMC's live afternoon call-in talk show. I'm Ray Graff. Oh, I'm so relieved right now. We're talking real estate, and we have a guest. Alex Monticello of Monticello Real Estate got here right before we opened the mic. He specializes in residential sales for buyers and sellers in the Capital Region. Renata Lewis was on the schedule today, but something must have happened, and she's not here. So it was about 2:05, and I was starting to think, all right, I'll have to answer some real estate questions myself, which could only lead to lawsuits and general disaster. But thankfully, Alex is here. The number is 800-348-2551. If you have a number, if you have a question, we have a number. 800-348-2551. You can email us at voxpop@wamc.org. Alex Monticello, I've never been so glad to see a real estate agent in my whole life. How you doing, man?
I'm glad to be here, too. Thanks, Ray, for having me back.
So what's happening with you? You well, take a little vacation, have a little fun this summer yet?
You know, it's been a hot summer. It's been a busy summer. It seems as if the spring market was a little bit slower, and everybody's making up ground now that we're in the summer.
You know, I thought it would be fun to run some, I ran some questions into the AI in my search engine.
I love it.
And, you know, sometimes it doesn't get everything exactly right. So I'm going to run this little précis by you, and you tell me if it's accurate. The Albany, New York real estate market in June 2025 is showing a mixed bag of trends. While the median listing price is flat year over year at $292,500, and the median sold price is up slightly, 0.7% to $281,000, the number of homes sold has decreased. Homes are selling quickly with a median of only 9 days on the market. Alex Monticello, true, false, or somewhere in between?
Yeah, so median sale price for June is $350,000. So
that's
they're
wrong.
Way off.
Way
yeah.
off, okay.
Homes are selling quickly, 2.5 months supply of inventory, which is a representative of a strong seller's market.
Mm-hmm.
Sellers are getting just over 100% of list price, listing to sale price.
Yeah.
So it's a strong seller's market. The only mixed bag here is we don't have enough inventory still.
Interesting. Homes are selling median of 9 days. Does that seem about right?
You know, that sounds about right. That number actually might be a little bit lower. You know, the numbers that I looked at in May for days, average days on market were some for all listings in our MLS is probably somewhere between 14 and 21 days. But that doesn't tell the full story because there's probably 10% of listings that are occupying a large number of days on market.
Interesting. According to the Greater Capital Association of Realtors, which I don't even know, is that a thing?
Yeah, that's a thing. Yep.
There are signs of increased activity, says the AI, among home sellers.
That's true. I think we've had a slight uptick in inventory, but that any uptick in inventory is getting swallowed up by even greater uptick in buyer activity.
Interesting. Now, okay, one more question from the artificial intelligence, which, as you know, Alex, will soon be running our lives, and we will be merely sitting in cubicles doing nothing, being fed by robots. The number here, and that's a different show, 800-348-2551 is our number if you have a real estate question for Alex Monticello. Or you can email us at voxpop@wamc.org. Here we go. Price fluctuations by bedroom type.
Ooh.
In June 2025, 1, 2, 3, and 5-bedrooms homes experienced price increases, while 4-bedroom homes saw a decrease.
You know what? Can I? You didn't type that in. It just gave you that.
Yeah.
All right. I think that's a silly metric.
Okay.
I think what's probably more accurate in terms of number of bedrooms is more of the price points.
Yeah.
Generally, the lower priced homes are seeing higher price appreciation or higher sale price to list price because there's just greater competition, and more people are competing for homes, you know, 300,000 and below than are competing for 700,000 below and a million below. That makes sense.
Alex Monticello of Monticello Real Estate is our guest today. If you have a real estate question, get in line. 800-348-2551 is our number. Email is voxpop@wamc.org. Let's grab one call before the first break. Steve is in Fort Plain. Steve, you're on.
Yes, hi, how you doing? I have like a little two-part question.
Sure.
One, I live in Montgomery County, and I'm wondering about thinking about selling or not with all these things going around the Albany area with all these businesses opening up. Or should I wait, or should I sell now, or wait a couple years?
Great question.
Yep, an eternal question.
Yeah, so, you know, it's always hard to predict. You know, what we're seeing is still a lack of inventory. So I think that trend will persist. I think home prices in the capital region, Montgomery County and beyond, especially a lot of upstate communities, are probably not going down. So prices at best will remain flat, but probably will increase over time just because there's a steady stream of people who are moving into our area and a lack of supply. It's always hard to time the market,
right.
Generally, now's a good time. Next spring may be a good time. It can also be a little bit dependent on your property, right? Certain properties may show better at certain times of year. If the home is on water or has a pool.
Mine shows better at night.
Yeah. Very dark. Or you just want to list it at night.
Yeah, mine too.
Yeah. So,
yep, I think they all look better at night.
Right you are, brother.
All right. Yes, and then I had a second question. I don't know if you'd be able to answer it.
Sure.
I have somebody else on the deed that's been on there for 50 years, unbeknownst to me. Is there a statute of limitations, or does that name stay on there forever?
That's interesting.
Yeah, that's a great question.
Your eyebrows went up there, Alex.
Yeah, so obviously you want to consult an attorney, but if somebody's on the deed, there would have to be basically a transfer of title of some sort to remove them from their deed. There's no statute of limitations that, you know, somebody can would be left off the deed just because they've been on there 50 years.
Do you know this person, or is it just a random person?
I know this person.
Okay, all right, fair enough.
It's just he just came out of the blue, and then, you know.
Oh.
So I guess I have to do a title search.
Mercy.
Yeah, was the property inherited?
Yes.
Ah, okay. So I would talk to the attorney, maybe the attorney who handled the estate, probably could seek some legal representation.
Lawyer up, Steve. Oh. Lawyer up, buddy.
Okay, so
go ahead. Finish it up.
Yes, I will. All right, I thank you very much.
All right, let's
hold on to it for a year or two and straighten that out, right?
But just to clarify, assuming they are on the deed, they're equal participant in selling the property, so you would need their consent and participation to list it, as well as accept any offer and transfer the title to the next buyer.
Right. Okay.
Oh, boy.
All right. I thank you.
All right, Steve. That is a can of worms. 800-348-2551 is the number. It's Vox Pop. It's Real Estate Today. Alex Monticello is with us from Monticello Real Estate. We'll be back. Hey, you know, we're doing a live show. Vox Pop will be recording an on-the-road event August 26th for the Vox Pop Antique Appraisal on the Road show. So get your antiques, your oddities, your ephemera verbally appraised at the Hart Clewitt Museum in Troy on August 26th. We're going to tape the whole thing and make it into a radio show. Who knows how good it'll be, but I'm sure we'll have some fun. It's August 26th. Tickets and info at WAMC.org. Look for WAMC on the road. I will be promoting this for some time, but we hope you join us. The number here is 800-348-2551. It's Real Estate with Alex Monticello. Oh, that's funny. Okay. So we just got a response from Renata. I was concerned that she might have been in an accident or something. She's okay. She's doing work, and she got wrapped up. And you were doing work, too, and I hope everything works out with that.
Yeah, it's, you know, obviously in our business, it can be a little tricky. Sometimes things blow up, and, you know, it's harder. You have to respond to put out the fire.
So how, at this time of year, this is your busy time?
Well, you know, historically, July and August can be slower times a year because they're vacation months, yeah. But this year is a little bit of an anomaly. I think we saw a bit slower springtime, and I've noticed a lot more buyer activity in July and August. We haven't hit August yet, but we're approaching.
Yeah.
I'm anticipating August is going to be busier than in years past, and I think part of it is a function of the buyers who were going to buy in the spring held back a little bit, and now they're moving forward.
And why did they hold back? Because of interest rates?
Well, interest rates are not any lower now than they were in the spring. It's hard to say. Economic uncertainties, you know, I'm not sure. It's really hard to say. But, you know, people can only put a hold on their moving plans for so long. And,
right.
And it usually evens out.
Alex Monticello of Monticello Real Estate joins us. It is the Real Estate Show, 800-348-2551. If you have a question about buying or selling a property, you can email us as well at voxpop@wamc.org. But in general, the warm weather months are better times to be a seller, right?
Usually. I mean... You know, again, a little bit depends on the house. If you have a pool, right, the best time to, I mean, this is a great time to sell a house with a pool. 90 degree weather in July. People are really competing right now aggressively for homes with pools.
Now tell me.
Pool's a really attractive feature
so funny.
When it's 90 degrees out.
But that isn't always that hasn't always been the case.
Well,
what
right.
happened?
Well, post-COVID, people realized that they wanted to spend more time in their homes and their homes. They wanted more features and amenities in their homes and
just
pools,
to stay around.
Yeah, even surprisingly, even right in upstate New York, where you can use the pool if it's heated, maybe May, June, July, August, and part of September, they still will now add value.
Really?
Yeah.
Selling a home in the winter, the dead of winter in the Northeast, there's got to be a pro to it as well.
Yeah. So generally, the worst time to put your home on the market, and I tell my buyers one of the best times to look for a home is between November 15th and January 1 because of the holidays.
Yeah.
But surprisingly, early January can be a great time to sell your home. There's a lot of buyers that enter the market in January. And that's the beginning of the spring market essentially begins in January. And so a lot of homeowners are thinking, I'm going to put my house up on the market in April or May when the grass is green. And that can still be a good time. And there'll be more buyers in the market then, too. But there could even be less inventory for buyer demand in January and February.
Interesting. Now, I didn't ask AI about this
at all.
I'm sorry.
All right.
But if you have to sell, maybe you have to sell your home in between November 15th and the new year.
Right.
Do you generally get less money? And if so, is there any percentage, any numbers on that?
Yeah, I don't know off the top of my head, but the Greater Capital Association of Realtors does monthly data. And you can see, you know, for example, June, the median sale price in June was $350,000. I think in May it was 320,000. You might be looking at median sale price in December might be closer to 300 or 315,000.
Interesting.
So, on average, homes are going to sell for a little bit more in the summer months than they will in the winter months.
Location, location, location. This is what I hear again and again and again. And this is all anecdotal information. I'm not giving any specifics because I don't know them, but I was talking to a colleague who said, guy I know up at Saratoga has been trying to sell his house for months, right, like a couple blocks from the track. And what could possibly be an impediment to selling that beautiful prime real estate?
That's a great question. It could depend on, is the house well maintained, right? Is there a parking lot or a dumpster next door, right? Depending on if there's a commercial property next door. Maybe inside the house, if the house was a smoker, right? That can be a big deterrent.
Can't you just clean that stuff out?
Ultimately, though, everything, especially in this market, will sell for a price. And if it's not selling, it's usually a function of price. They're simply reaching too far or too high in price. Now's the time when everybody who's got money is up in Saratoga. So if it's not selling, in July, in August in Saratoga,
it's
probably overpriced, right? Because to your point, the property has value even if there was nothing on it.
Right.
And so it should be selling.
The number here is 800-348-2551. If you have a real estate question for Alex Monticello, 800-348-2551. You can email the program at voxpop@wamc.org. And Renata just texted and said, am I fired? No, you're not fired because you don't get paid. You'll be on the next one.
Wait a minute. This isn't paid?
No. Have you gotten a check yet from us?
I was waiting.
No, well, you'll be waiting a while, friend.
Right.
Hey, you know what? It's contingent upon selling. So what do they call that in real estate? 800-348-2551. You can also email us at voxpop@wamc.org. Let's talk about price. And we talked about maybe a property that was a little overpriced and it's sitting on the market. From what AI told me, and I think you corroborated this, 9 days is about where we are now for a house being on the market.
Yeah, and it can even go a lot faster.
Well, we've seen that. I mean, in the pandemic, it was hours.
Yeah, exactly. And it still can be hours.
Yeah.
For example, we listed a property in NASA around $300,000 last weekend. This was kind of a bit of a unique situation, but within 72 hours, there were nearly 50 showings, right?
Yeah.
And again, it's a function also of the price point. It's very hard to find a house around $300,000 that's in okay shape. It's very hard, and a lot of buyers know that, and so they will compete very aggressively for properties, especially if it's dated, if it's well maintained and cared for. Buyers are going to go after it.
You've been in this market and you have been in this business for a while now. Tell me. I'm sure some of this is alchemy. Some of this is just a little bit of magic. But how do you set that price that gets your seller the max dollar that he or she wants and also will sell?
Yeah, so it is tricky, right? There's a science behind it, and then there's an art. And the science is you look at comparable homes of comparable size in similar location that have sold ideally in the last 6 months. But you could go back, like an appraiser will go back as far as 12 months. And then you look at generally a price per square foot basis. But then you have to adjust for the finishes and the conditions and the layout and maybe the lot size or lot location. And so it's always hard to figure it out. The other thing is I always encourage my clients to think about the way buyers receive properties now are through basically electronic email alerts. And those email alerts are adjusted in increments of $10,000.
Say this again. Buyers are alerted to properties, or is the deal being done this way?
No. So what most people, who are actively looking for a property will set up alerts and they'll put in their criteria, right? They'll put in an area, they might put in beds and bathrooms, and then they'll put a price range. And those price ranges that they're putting, inputting, whether it's in the MLS alerts or Zillow or other third-party websites, are increments of $10,000, right? So I encourage my clients to think that there are a lot more buyers looking under 300,000 than there are over 300,000. So if you were to list a property, for example, for 295 versus 301.
So this is just psychology. Same as putting something on sale.
Psychology and human behavior, right? And the way the system funnels listings to people. The minute you list a property for 301, everybody who's looking between 250 and 300, they might still see it, but they're not going to get that email alert if they've set their parameters, search parameters, 250 to 300.
Well, is this a problem?
Well, it's not necessary. It can be a problem. And so my point to sellers is I almost would never list a property for 301 or 305 or 310. Likewise, 401, 405, or 410, those can be some of the worst prices to list a home.
So interesting.
Because you're missing the buyers who are looking just up to 300. And the second part of this is, to answer your question, we are seeing buyers pay up. So buyers are not afraid, especially if they know it's a competitive process, to pay over the list price and pay as much as 10 to 20% over the list price.
That was a thing that was huge in the pandemic.
Yeah, and it's happening today still based on the property and the price points.
So interesting.
And the final point is human psychology. I think buyers, when they, like everybody, when they realize it's a competition and other people are competing, they will work harder for it.
So it's like eBay.
Yeah, they'll work harder for it. And they will up their price and probably pay more than they would have if they didn't think so many other people wanted it.
Alex Monticello is our guest today. It's Real Estate. Renata is MIA, but she's okay and she'll be with us next time. Beth writes in, thinking about finishing our Columbia County attic and creating two more bedrooms and a bath. Currently, I have two bedrooms and one bath. Is there a smart way to figure out whether and at what level that it is good use of money?
Yeah, this is I can say finishing space in your home is a great use of money, especially now in the current market. It's going to add square footage. So one of the things that you could do is calculate the additional square footage it's going to add to your home and then look at homes in that area with that square footage and see what were they selling for. And as long as your project is, you know, at or around what the additional the sale price is, it's totally worth it. The other thing you have to factor in, if you're going to be using that space for an additional 5 or plus years, even if it adds more value than you can get out today, it's probably still worth it, right? Because you're going to get years of use and enjoyment.
Yeah.
And then the final point, I do things a little differently when I meet sellers, is I usually try to talk them out of selling their home first because it's such an expensive process. And if you can finish your basement or finish your attic, economically, it probably makes more sense.
So talk about psychology. You're telling the potential client, hey, don't sell your home. This is like Macy's and Gimbel's in Miracle on 34th Street.
Well, it's a great way. There's a couple things. One, if you've ever worked with a client who changed their mind, it's really frustrating.
Yeah.
Right?
Does that happen a lot?
Thankfully, not with me, no. But it can. You can, if you push a seller into listing their house when they're not ready to sell, and then you get them an offer and you get everything together for them and they say, actually, I changed my mind. Now you've wasted a lot of time and energy.
Now, aren't you, as the seller's agent, don't you say, hey, my time is worth money. You owe me something.
Well, it depends on how you structure your contract. Most of the contracts are not structured that way. They're contingent upon payment is contingent upon a closing.
But that's a lot of work, especially initially. That must be where the most work is.
Absolutely. There's a lot of initial work running up to it. So the other benefit of talking somebody out of selling their home is you get a better understanding of why they want to sell their home, right? Which is equally important in understanding the motivations of the seller. So I really do think it's helpful helpful to understand why is it that you want to move, especially now. I mean, you know, Ray, you know, moving where you live is going to be an expensive proposition, and the houses are super expensive and the rates are higher. Yes. And so it's going to cost you a lot of money.
So we're going to take a phone call before the next break. But, you know, you talked about the caller or the letter writer who said, you know, do I add this extra rooms to my home? What's the one thing or the two things that you shouldn't put money in if you're going to sell your home? For instance, I want to build a huge moat around my property.
The moat probably is not a good idea unless it's big enough to swim in and it's filtered. And maybe
there'll be gators in there.
Oh, okay.
Yeah,
probably not a good idea.
Okay, all right. Yeah. But what shouldn't you do?
That's
not
cost question.
Effective.
Well, I think if you take really bold colors, like paint your bedroom black, maybe that's not a good idea.
Does anybody?
I have seen bedrooms that were black.
Would you sell Ozzy's house?
Maybe.
Yeah. Interesting.
You know, I think that's a hard question to answer. But I will say, adding square footage is one of the best ways that to make an improvement for your home, and you're going to get it back because you're making the house bigger.
Okay. Let's hit one phone call, and then we'll take a break, and then we'll go back to it with Alex Monticello of Monticello Real Estate. Lexi's in Saratoga. Hello, Lexi.
Hi.
You're on.
Oh, awesome. I was just curious what your thoughts were on interest rates. Like, I want to buy. I've been actively trying, but the interest rates are making a mortgage payment almost $3,000.
Yeah. Yeah, this is a challenge for a lot of buyers right now. One thing that you might want to look at, which I've suggested to certain clients, is an adjustable rate loan. I just looked earlier today at a local credit union that offers adjustable rate loans, and their 30-year fixed was at 6.625. But their 5-year adjustable rate loan, and I'll explain what that means, had an interest rate of 5.625. So it was like a whole percentage point below. The catch with these adjustable rate loans are they're fixed for a period of time. 5 years would be 5-year adjustable rate loan would be fixed only for 5 years, and so if you thought interest rates were going to come down during a 5-year period, that would be a product to get, and then you could eventually refinance out. The other thing I'll say, Lexi, is that unfortunately, if rates do come down, we're probably going to see a bump in the price. So
you never can win, Lexi.
It's hard. It is hard. And so you might be better off, assuming you can make the payment, right, buying now at these higher interest rates, or maybe look at an adjustable rate loan with the idea that you would refinance in future years. Does that answer your question?
Yeah, it's just hard that you want to do that when, as you mentioned earlier, people are listing their houses for way more than they're worth right now, too.
Yeah, well, if they get it, then it's worth it.
Yeah, for them.
Exactly.
Well, thank you so much.
Lexi, thanks a lot. We're going to you want to finish up?
Well, I don't know if Lexi heard earlier. I appreciate it can be really discouraging as a buyer right now in this market. It's tough. And so one of the things I encourage my clients to do is instead of going after the houses that are new to market, occasionally you can get a house that maybe they list a decent house that maybe they overpriced it, and now it's been on the market 3 weeks or more, and they've started to do some price adjustments. And what we're seeing is buyers aren't looking backwards. And so the houses that are on the market for 3 weeks, they can start to sell at a more fair value in the eyes of Lexi, or perhaps even below market if they linger too long.
Are the houses that are on the market too long generally for sale by owner?
Not necessarily, no.
So if a realtor, and I assume it's the newer ones that probably overvalue the home trying to please the client, but will they get a rep? Will they get a rep among other real estate agents that, we got to watch it with this guy?
I don't think so. I mean, it is a collaborative process, right? And so the realtor can say, here's my recommendation on the price. But if ultimately the seller says, I hear you, but I believe it's worth more, you know, one of my greatest fears is we list it for a price, we sell it quickly, or maybe we even sell it for more than we listed for, and you tell me, I'm not happy, that was too low, we left money on the table, right? So I really do try to understand.
That's when you change your number, man.
I really do try to understand what are the expectations of the seller, because that does play into it.
Let's take a break here. Alex Monticello is here from Monticello Real Estate. The number is 800-348-2551. We'll be back. South of the border, down Mexico way. That's Lou Donaldson on Vox Pop. Hey, I'm going to mention this until you get a ticket to the event. WAMC on the road at the Hart Clewitt Museum in Troy, August 26th. The Vox Pop Antique Appraisal on the Road show with Lisa Thomas. And I tell you what, Colin Stair from Stair Galleries, these people know antiques. So get your antiques, oddities, and ephemera verbally appraised in a broadcast recording for this program. You can find out tickets. You can find out information and get tickets at WAMC.org. Okay. And I'll be there in all my semi-professional glory. It's Vox Pop today. It's Alex Monticello, who is a professional real estate agent from Monticello Real Estate. This email came into voxpop@wamc.org. John writes in, howdy. Well, isn't that folksy? We're about to spend a fair amount to redo the 2.5 bedrooms in our 1945 Cape. Will it be a one-to-one payoff if and when we sell?
Ooh, that's a tough question. And by redoing, I guess the question is, what exactly are they doing? Are they just changing maybe the flooring, painting the walls, or are they bumping it out or elevating the ceilings? Because I know capes can have those pitched ceilings.
Yeah.
It's a tough call. But, you know, generally I'll say what I said earlier is most people who are putting money into their homes, assuming you're going to be there for 5 years, will get it back.
Now, I happen to know John, and he's offended by me calling him folksy, but he is folksy. And John, I hope you get at least one-to-one on your house. By the way, that was not, he said that was Herb Alpert, but it wasn't. That was Lou Donaldson. So you're wrong, John, and you swore at me, and I don't like it. 800-348-2551 is the number. It's Real Estate Today with Alex Monticello, and let's go to Albany, New York. Mary, you're on.
Hi, thanks for taking my call.
You bet.
We have a situation where a family member died and left the house, and nobody wants it.
Ah. Is it in a bad location, Mary?
No, it's just, it's nobody wants it. It's not the right vibe, let's put it that way. And they also really don't, half of them live out of town. And so it's just like, can we just put this on the market and sell it and go? But the other issue is, how much money do they put into it? Or we've heard about as is. So if you don't put any money into it and you make it as is, how do you price it?
Yeah, great
question. Do you price it to sell, or do you price it to initiate a bidding war?
So great question. And when you said nobody wants it, are you talking about the family members that could inherit it?
Right. Exactly.
Oh, I see. I understand.
Yeah. So
I'm sorry.
That's all right. And so in these instances, my recommendation usually when I work with estates would be you want to clear everything out of the house. That's priority one.
Right.
And then a fresh coat of paint can go a long way, especially if the house hasn't been painted recently. That paint has some of the best return on the investment. And then if there are old carpets that are maybe covering up hardwood floors or hardwood floors that could be refinished, that's the next best thing that you could do to fix it up. And even if you're going to sell it as is, I would recommend making those two investments. Fresh coat of paint and, you know, refinishing hardwoods if they are, or sometimes I go into houses all the time where they have this old dated carpet that's covering up these beautiful hardwoods, right?
Yeah.
And if you just pulled out that carpet, you know, for around $3 a square foot, you can hire somebody to refinish those hardwoods, and it makes a big difference.
There you go.
Actually, the hardwoods probably could stand refinishing, but upstairs, it was space that was converted, and so all the flooring up there or the wood up there is actually kind of rough. So when the house, when they put actually padding and carpeting down wall to wall to make it more walkable.
Right.
So that's the sort of thing you wouldn't want to tear up. Just tell them there's no hardwood under there, right?
Yeah, right. Yeah, if the flooring under there is not suitable and couldn't be refinished, then I would leave the carpet in its place.
Okay.
And then as far as pricing goes, you know, generally, as I mentioned earlier, buyers are not afraid to pay up for a home. And, you know, if it gets really competitive, sometimes they can push it up 10 to 20% over the list price. I'd meet with probably three different realtors, get a couple different market analysis, figure out, you know, where you think a comfortable price range is. And ask the realtors, you know, yeah, which price would be on the more aggressive side? You know, buyers will compete for it.
Okay. Well, thanks a lot for the call. Appreciate it very much, Mary. 800-348-2551 before the next call. This is from Catherine in Niskayuna. Catherine wrote, is it a lot of renovation questions today? Is it worth it to rip out carpet on the second floor bedrooms and on the stairs? I've got floors that can be refinished that are in very good shape.
Whoa.
Will the house sell faster? Will I get my money's worth out of it?
She was reading our mind.
Yeah.
Absolutely. Absolutely. That's the best scenario, is when you just have to get rid of the old carpet and refinish.
Yeah.
That there is a lot of return on that investment.
You know what that's telling me? Catherine's not actually listening to the show. Because you were answering it when she wrote the question.
Or she's telepathic.
That's next week on Vox Pop. Sam is in New Haven. Sam, you're on.
Yes. So my mother just downsized from a five-bedroom house to a senior apartment, and now we have to figure out selling the house. And my brother has approached me, the older brother, about making an offer and suggesting it to my mother. If we pursue this, we want to know how to fall through on this to avoid any potential family strife. Because my mom needs the money and so can't give much of a deal, but at the same time, want to make sure that everyone is dealt with fairly.
I like it.
Oh, that's a tough question. That's really veering into family dynamics,
yeah.
Right?
Embrace the strife, Sam. That's my advice.
I don't know. Maybe it's time to call a family meeting and express your interest in the property. And one of the things you could do is you could get you're the buyer, right? Potential buyer.
No, it's my younger brother.
Oh, your younger brother.
And his wife.
Yeah. So, I mean, one option could be you could hire an appraiser to give an independent value on the property. And then now you have a third-party objective valuation, and you could use that as the basis. And if the younger brother is willing to pay around that or within some range, you guys would all agree that that would be a good family transaction and wouldn't be putting your mom in a unfair spot,
yeah.
I guess.
I was thinking that because we wouldn't use a real estate agent, that we could give him that as the discount, because otherwise we would have to, and my mother would be paying the commission.
Yeah, you can consider that as well.
Well, good luck with that one. Hey, yeah. Sam, when it all shakes down and all the people who don't speak to each other in your family are talking again, call us back and let us know how it went.
All right. Thank you so much.
Thanks for the call. 800-348-2551. Andrew writes in, I love the advice about how paint and refinished flooring is the best value for your buck. Our family just sold a house and did those two things in the home, and it looked brand new. My only advice is to get multiple quotes on the contractors, as we found out there could be thousands of dollars of savings if you don't.
That's great advice.
All right. This is from David. I'm wondering whether double-wide manufactured homes typically appreciate or depreciate over time, and what are the primary factors associated with these trends? By the way, there are some double-wides that are stunning. They're real inside. I mean, they are great.
Yeah. I do not work with these manufactured homes.
Yeah.
So I can't speak intelligently
on it. All right, fair enough. You know, in my neighborhood, there are a lot of Sears homes.
Oh, those are beauties.
Yeah, isn't that
collector
something?
Collector items.
Yeah. Let's go to Ed in the Catskills. Ed, you're on with Alex Monticello.
Yes, good afternoon, men.
Hi.
Alex, I've got a property here, a four-acre subdividable with well, electric, and septic already installed. The woods is partly cleared. I have a building pad and a driveway to the building pad. I want to build a 2,400-square-foot barn dominium.
Barn
dominium. And I'm wondering if I make it. And I'm wondering if I make this investment in a barn dominium, am I going to realize a profit, a return, a better return on my investment?
And are you looking to rent it out, or?
No, I would be. I'm elderly here, and I know that my time is limited before I have to go to assisted living or something. And I'm wondering if I'm going to have to sell it at a loss. And I realize the market can change on a dime.
Yeah, so you know what I would recommend doing is you know, get some estimates from three different contractors to figure out what the cost is to build it, and then figure out what those barn dominiums you think you could sell them for, and figure out if you're going to be able to cover those costs.
Okay. All right. Well, I kind of figured that was the way to go, but I wasn't sure. Thank you very much for your time.
You're welcome.
Ed, good luck. Thanks for the call. 800-348-2551 is the number. 1-800-348-2551. You can also email us at voxpop@wamc.org. You know, I know from our chats, Alex, that you and your family go to the same place we go up in Maine. And the guy who we rented the house from this time said, oh, yeah, this place in the back where it still has ocean view, we're going to try to sell that as condominiums.
Wow.
And I thought, wow, you know, you're getting so much every week during the summer. Is it economically prudent to hang on to something like that that's a cash cow year after year?
That's a great question. I mean, you know, I think sometimes people may want to liquidate their investment and put it into something else. You know, maybe they're tired of just doing, you know, managing the property and the rentals. And even though they're making cash, it's an active investment. I mean, I tell people that owning real estate is not a passive investment.
No.
Right? It's very active.
Yeah.
So it requires a lot of time and attention. You know, I guess it's a very personal call.
I'll tell you, they completely redid this place. And I'll give you the number next time you go up there.
I'd love to check it out.
Mike in Knox writes, this is a great question. So we got into psychology a little bit earlier. Here's another bit of psychology. Sold as is. Does selling a home as is scare away buyers?
That's a great question. I almost will never use those words as is.
Really?
Yeah, it's unnecessary.
You don't say fixer upper.
It's unnecessary, right? I think, so to answer the question, yes. I generally don't encourage using that phrase. I think if you use that phrase, people are going to assume they're worst. And sometimes people are using that phrase and there's really nothing wrong with the house. They're just saying, hey, I don't really want to negotiate on inspection issues. I don't want to get nickeled and dimed over inspection issues. But I think that conversation can be handled on a one-to-one basis with an agent or a buyer who's expressing interest in the house. I wouldn't broadcast or list the house as is.
So psychologically, that's not a good play to get people to look at your house.
Yeah.
But it's a two-way street. Even if you don't say it, you're going to get nickeled and dimed anyway. If you're a good buyer, your agent is going to try to get every dollar off that thing.
Not necessarily. I mean, if one thing that you can do is if you price it right and you can attract enough attention, hopefully you're going to get a menu of offers, right? More than just one or two. And you can then have individual conversations with any of those buyers and say, hey, we like this offer, but we'd like it even more if you'd be willing to limit your inspections or accept that, you know, you're going to do inspections and we're not going to give any additional credit.
Yeah.
But setting those expectations during the first part of the negotiation can help.
Interesting. JS writes in, I'm looking at a piece of land in Berkshire County that may be difficult to develop due to depth of bedrock and slope. Oh. Is the seller obligated to do a perk test and or subsoil conditions assessment. If I do them and it doesn't pass muster, is the seller obligated to reimburse?
This is in Massachusetts. Yeah, I'm not familiar with Massachusetts.
What's a PERC test again, man?
PERC test is, and it sounds like they've answered that question, where PERC test is determining how the water moves through the soil such that you could put a septic and a leach field in.
Mm.
And areas where there is a lot of bedrock that would have, if you couldn't do a buried septic and leach field, you'd have to do a above ground or a raised bed septic system.
Mm.
So they'd have to bring in the fill, gets more expensive.
They have raised bed septic systems?
Yeah, in areas where the ground is too hard or either too much clay or too much rock. So what they do is they have mounds that they run the leach field through.
That's got to be expensive and not that attractive to look at.
Correct. But my gut is the seller would not be obligated to reimburse the buyer for a test if the property fails.
But again, we don't know Massachusetts rules.
We don't know Massachusetts
law,
and I think the other part is you could put it in the contract, right? A lot of times this basically comes down to contract law. So if you were to put that in your offer, then they would be obligated to do that.
Alex Monticello, we're about out of time here. If people would like to find out more about what you do, you're on the web, right? You're also on the social media and whatnot?
We are on the socials.
Yeah.
We do that.
You're on the TikTok?
We are not on the TikTok.
Good for you.
Yeah, good for you. Yeah, we're saying no to TikTok these days. But we're on most other socials. You can just Google us, Monticello Real Estate in Albany or Saratoga, and you'll find us.
Okay. Well, listen, good times today.
Thanks for showing up,
even if you were also late, which gave me a few palpitations. Renata, she'll be here next time, and perhaps both of you.
Won't happen again.
That's great. Support, I hope. Support comes from Identity Eyewear, Albany, New York, celebrating 27 years, specializing in distinctive eyewear, European styling and prescription and non-prescription sunglasses, eye exams by appointment, IdentityEyewearAlbany.com. Chesterwood, the Gilded Age home and studio of American Renaissance sculptor Daniel Chester French, presenting an open rehearsal and director's insight of Shakespeare and Company's The Taming of the Shrew, July 30th at 5:30 p.m., tickets at chesterwood.org. And Fatigan's Nursery, Latham, New York, featuring flowering planters, annuals, perennials, vegetable and herb starts, organic soils, over 100 years of gardening experience, family-owned and operated, fatigans.com. Once again, thanks to Alex Monticello for being here today. Thanks for listening. Great calls. Really nice and great emails as well. Thanks to Zach Malloy, our engineer. Phone screened by Andrea Leong. I'm Ray Graff. Tomorrow, it's Pets und Vets. We'll see you too.